Good morning, Bridge family. It's Pastor Jeff, and I wanted to welcome you to this gathering, this time of worship, where we are going to do what we always do. We're going to bring God glory, and at the same time, we're going to have a very special celebration today. You see, it's a special day because our Acts 1:8 Bridge family is going to be a witness to the world in a way that I pray informs, inspects, and inspires. You see, we have Brother CV with us from Kerala, India today. He's going to be sharing God's word, and he's going to be doing it not as a traveling evangelist, but as a visiting family member. You see, we're having the privilege today of showing the world and sharing amongst ourselves as the Bridge family, as the Acts 1:8 family, as the family of Almighty God. As we have Brother CV coming to join us, and as he shares the word, know that this is coming after a week of intense and in-depth leadership training, of pouring into our five Bridge brothers that are in India, sharing the gospel and making disciples who make disciples who make disciples.
So we are ordained by God. What a great, we are ordained by God. So when we know that we are ordained by God, we got the confidence. God is telling me today, go organize, make the disciples, and go organize with the gospel. So God is telling me today. So I got a lot of confidence in my life, a lot of peace, and lot of blessings in my life.
This week, I have spent 2 to 3 hours each day with Brother Sunil, Brother Abhinash, Brother Sojal, Brother Panchwi, and Brother Sumanta. And it's only fitting, and it's beautifully, beautifully fitting to have Brother CV, his wife Mary, their two sons, Justin and Isaac, with us today in our Maryland family, and bringing to us yet again another witness to God's witness in our Bridge family. I want to encourage you that as we live out a life committed to bringing God glory by finding and growing more glorifiers, as we go fishing with Jesus day after day after day, recognize this, Bridge family. We have the awesome privilege and the missional responsibility to continue and show the world faithful perseverance, all by God's grace and always for His glory, as we demonstrate that missions, it's not something that you give money to. It's a family that you become. And when we talk about local or national or foreign missions, we're using language that is not in the Bible. There is not this separation. These are not compartments or departments. This is the mission. This is the bullseye of the body of Christ, that we are to bring God glory by being His aroma, being His light, being His ambassadors, being His witnesses locally, regionally, and globally. We don't create parachurch ministries. We don't say, well, that's for somebody else. No, we thank God that we get to be the very family of God. And as we are being, God will do the building. And again, today's a wonderful example of this. Many churches and many ministries will talk about the great commandments, and they'll talk about the Great Commission, but you don't often see how they are truly unified. We, as a humble and grace-based family of God, we are getting to live this out. I literally, just a little few minutes ago, finished time with our family in Uganda. And I'm preparing, as I make this video, in a few minutes, I'm going to re-engage with our family in India. And I've just left already a few minutes ago, our family in Maryland and our family in Vermont. You see, every opportunity we have to show the world and to celebrate ourselves and to enjoy the fact that God does not have a bunch of projects. He has one people. That people is the church. I know it's grammatically ugly and it doesn't sound right, but the truth of the matter is the church is the people. And it's not about any kind of building. It's not about any old traditions. It's about vibrantly living in victory and to be one family with one faith and one focus. This is the witness that the world so desperately needs to see as we proclaim the gospel and as we love one another as God's people. And we do it showing that we are the church without walls. We are the church that is all over the world. And as God will lead us, we will follow. And as God sends us, we will go. And as God brings us people of peace, we will make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And today, after a week of intense training of our young gospel planting, gospel gardening brothers in India, to have the family that God used to start our entire India family come and visit us in Maryland, and more than that, to preach God's word to us yet again, and to be a living testimony, an example. Oh, we are so, so blessed. So I want to ask you to pray with me as we get ready to begin, and just know that God is with us. He is here. He's here with us in the micro and in the macro, all because of the missional commitment to say, yes, Lord, no matter what. Oh, Lord, I pray that this will be a day that you will make an impact in eternity, starting right here in our family. May this time with Brother C.V. and Mary and Justin and Isaac, Lord, may it bring you glory. We see your amazing grace. We see your witness in this witness. May we carry your truth and love and your witness out to this dark and dying world. Thank you for making yourself so clear to us. What a blessed people we are. Now, Lord, please fill and pour yourself out. Fill C.V. and then pour yourself out of C.V. as he brings the teaching and the preaching of your word to this world. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
To be here again, one more time, and with my family, my beloved wife, Mary, and my beloved son, Justin, and also very beloved son, Isaac, who is going for church planting. That is what he is studying in St. Louis, Missouri. So before I start, I just want to give mic to Isaac. He will say a few words. But before that, I want to point out, I think 8 years ago, when I visited here first time, I was so impressed with the Acts 1:8. So still, the church is focusing on. And I appreciate the leadership of Pastor Jeff. He came to India, visited us, and he is focusing on church planting, unreached people groups in different places. You saw the leaders who were trained. So we trained them in our seminary. Now they are baptizing every week, every month, people. Amen? Amen. Is it good? How great is our God, isn't he? Yeah. So I am so happy for the Bridge family, for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement. And I am so impressed with Acts 1:8. Globally. And so it was so happy to see the African brothers. The same way in India also, the Bridge family. And he, Pastor Jeff, is multiplying the bridges in India. In the interior village of the state of Mizoram, no electricity, no toilet, no internet connection, What else? So nothing is there. In the one pastor, recently we are developing the mission station there, Pastor Molshoy. So Pastor Jeff is encouraging him also. And we want to reach out to the unreached people groups in India. So how many of you will pray for that? All of you? Excellent. Thank you for the encouragement. Now Isaac will come and share a few words from.
Hello, everyone. Isn't it so cool that we here in Maryland are worshiping the God at the same time people in Vermont, Uganda, and even India? And I think it's a testimony or proof that the church is not a building. It's the people. Amen? I'm not going to take much time because I heard there's a handsome guy from India going to share the gospel, so I'm not going to waste much time. He's wearing his gold-plated shirt there. My name's Isaac. I'm the youngest son of these two people here. I live in the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. I am going through a missionary training center. It's called Ethnos 360 or New Tribes Mission. They train people to go into the most remote or unreached people. They specifically try to go to places or villages there that they've never had access to gospel or never a Christian. So it's really cool. And I just want to share one thing that I'm learning there. You know, I'm in the States right now getting all this knowledge, like learning from hundreds of versions of the Bible, millions of books, so many pastors pouring into my life and stuff like that. But when I go to India, in a remote village where they've never heard who is Jesus or who's never heard what God is, who never heard what love is, and if I just go and tell them, hey, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, get saved. That's not, like, they don't even know what love is. What if they don't even have a word for love? Or what if their definition of love is someone who is abusive to them or some ritual that they did for their savior? So the bridge between, that's funny, the same name, the bridge between getting the gospel to their culture, it's different. So for them to actually know who God is, because it's one, in A.W. Tozer's book, it's one of my favorite books, he says it's one thing to know God and it's one thing to know of God. That's a big difference, because we can know of God with our brain, but we can know God with our hearts. And that's where it makes a... And it's really cool. One of my professors in class said, I still have it on my phone, written, God never asked us to go make converts. He asked us to go make disciples. Because converts, when persecution happens, they run away. But disciples die for them. Please be praying for me as I have one more year in training there, and I'm hoping to go back to India for the training and for training local believers there.
Thank you, Isaac. So you want to listen from the word of God with the brain or with the heart? Heart. Okay. Then we will, I am planning to adopt a passage which I may ask questions. We interact each other. So we will understand more than intellectually speaking. I will speak with heart so that we can understand that passage very well. So I draw your attention, Gospel according to John, chapter 11, from verse 1 to 12. Gospel according to John chapter 21, verse 1 to 12. All of you know that story? Yes? Fishing. How many of you like fishing? Only John? Yeah. Some of you like fishing? Yes. I like fishing. When I was very young, I usually go with my father. It's not the way we fish here in America. In Indian way, we use our hands for fishing. Do you know how to do that, Joe? Yeah. we do with our hands. Sometimes our hands go after a big fish, seeing a fish. We try to with the mud or the muddy water. When we go for fishing, sometimes we, instead of catching a fish, we will catch a snake. Ah, you like that? Yeah. So if it was in my language, I could make it more funny way. So sometimes it happens. So fishing is a tough job. Once me, Christine, and Joe, we went for fishing. The crab, isn't it? Yeah. But we didn't catch anything. But it was a nice experience. So fishing. So the words in John chapter 21, there is a particular sentence which I want to bring to your attention from my experience also. That verse 11, the last sentence, yet was not the net broken. These days I spoke about these passages in different places of India because it's very personal connection with my testimony. So how many fishes were there in that net when Peter and the leaders, they went for fishing and they caught how many fishes? 153. So that was the exact amount. When I left the monastery 36 years ago, my superior priest had given me 153 rupees in my pocket. So that money, I started fishing. I did not know about this concept, but started fishing. It multiplied. With that money, I printed the first gospel tract. Why? I am not a Roman Catholic. So it's amazing. And when I sing that sentence, how great is our God. Amen? Yeah, I can truly testify. How great is our Lord. Looking back 36 years. So recently we celebrated 34 years of our marriage. The same day we started the ministry. And we were evaluating how God leads this fishing. So this passage is very personal connection with me and with my family for missions. And it's amazing grace that God given to us. So now let us look unto this passage and see how it is impacting to our life. So when 21, verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were at Tiberias Sea. How many of they were? How many? Come on. Let us, 11. How many? They were together, one, Simon Peter, Thomas, second, Nathanael of Cana, third, and sons of Zebedee. Who are they? James and John. And then two others. Who are they? Who are they? Christine, who are they? So most of the time we read this passage, but we don't meditate on it. It explains very well that Simon, Peter, the second name also, last name and first name, Thomas, the Didymus, the additional name, Nathanael of Cana, from where he is, and also the expressive names of sons of Zebedee, but two others. Who are they? Did you ever thought of it? There is two others. So I was also searching for who are they. We can assume the disciples. But C.S. Spurgeon point out who are they. That is what I like. So he says that wherever this passage is preaching, take two of them. So today I take whom? So whoever two people we can take, maybe Charlie and Daniel. Where is Daniel? Yeah, so somebody, so one of, so two people also included this fishing. Wherever you are preaching. That is what C.S. Spurgeon says. Okay, let us continue. Two others of his disciples, Simon Peter, said unto them, I go fishing. Is it a good idea? Good idea, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good idea. Go for fishing. So what was the command when Jesus left them? What was them given the responsibility? Go and do fishes of men. But what is Peter is going to do now? So most of the time, our idea yesterday, me and Charlie's family and with Mary, we were sharing while having dinner, the big idea. Sometimes we are smart people, bigger ideas, isn't it? Come on. Yes or no? We have a lot of ideas. We are smart people, more than Jesus, more than God. We are sometimes very smart people. Good ideas, big ideas, smart people, intelligent, very smart, smart people. Did you ever see smart people in the churches? Come on, nobody is speaking. I see several people, smart people, in the churches also, among the pastors. So smart people, they bring ideas, going after ideas. So most of the time, these ideas which people create, the problem here, Peter didn't ask to Jesus that, shall I go? No counseling from Jesus. So, but they went for fishing. And Jesus met them. Simon Peter said unto them, I go for fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. By the way, how they got a ship immediately? Did anybody know? Peter was with Jesus for 3.5 years. He left the boat and net. But how they got immediately? Is it like a rent-a-car? Or a fishing net? Wagon. How they got immediately? Peter got immediately. Most of the time we don't meditate these words. Immediately he got a boat and a net for fishing. It's very, very interesting. When C.S. Spurgeon says, I like his preaching. So he says, when Peter followed Jesus, started following Jesus after Jesus called him, in Mark Gospel we see that he put aside in the ship and followed Jesus Christ. That is why most of the time, Apostle Peter always asked Jesus, Jesus, we are following you. Last three and a half years, we are following you. What we will get? He always asks questions. The others hiding the questions, but Peter always have the courage to ask questions. What I will get it? So there are people in the churches, in the ministry, when we go and see the people, they always ask, what I will get? That is the concept. What I will get? Not we are saying that what we can give. Instead, most of the time the people ask, what I can get? Okay? So this is one of the concept that Peter immediately got the boat and he started fishing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So this is the background of this passage is Jesus resurrected and he left. Apostle Peter and the disciples have to live with the Jews where the persecution, nobody, they feel lonely. The leader is gone. We are alone. Now, what is the biggest problem for them? What is the biggest problem? Their life is under threatening. In the midst of that, they are very concerned about their stomach. What is the biggest problem in the world? Nobody knows? Huh? Hunger. Yeah, the stomach problem. Hunger. So maybe you people didn't experience that, the hunger of the world. Maybe your circumstances. I experience what is hunger. Huh? Charlie, I experience really what is hunger. So when people experience the hunger, they are forced to go for bigger ideas, to find their own ways, their own things. So here, they went for an idea because they feel hungry. Their leader is gone. And now they got the boat and the fish, and then they started fishing. Now, verse 5, then Jesus said unto them, children, have you have any meat? Then what was their response? What was their response? No. Why no? Why no? They didn't catch fish. Why no? Why not? The failure of their bigger idea. The failure of the bigger idea. Did you ever experience the failure of our ideas? I experienced it in ministry. Did anybody? When we asked to share, if we had time, if we asked to share, everybody have our bigger ideas failure. But in that failure, amongst the midst of that failure idea, Jesus is coming and calling children. If we were in that position, Pastor Charlie, what you will call? Call them. Brother? Oh, okay. That is very nice. So here it says children. Because Jesus wants to bring them back to their commission, for the Great Commission. So here it says that, children, do you have any meat to eat? And they said, they answered him, no. Who answered? Peter? All of them, all of them answered, no. Dear brothers and sisters, every day our walk of Christian faith or Christian life or day-to-day affairs, we face these kinds of difficulty. We have to openly tell to Jesus that, no, Jesus, nothing. I am nothing. When we have that willingness to share with our Jesus, that I am nothing, then Jesus will make it a restart. When our bigger idea finishes or stop or failure, the great idea, ours is bigger idea, but Jesus' idea is greater idea. He will guide you. He will. So when I remember that in 1996, we had gone through, when Justin was very small, Isaac was not born that time. 1996. And we had gone through a big threatening from the fanatics. I don't want to say the religion's name. Very big fanatics. I was very smart, young man. Very smart in ministry. Very, very smart. Using the brain. Publishing. Bibles, books, literature. Very passionate for the ministry. In 1996, when the fanatics came, I was so discouraged. They want to burn our office. When I was not there, Mary Kuti was there in that shop, the literature center. She came after her school, and I think she can testify more than me what is the experience she faced. The fanatics with the two jeep full of people came. They want to burn the office. It was a big challenge for us. I was so discouraged. That time I was in Delhi. We are in South India, Kerala. I was in Delhi. And immediately I came back, and we had gone through big struggle into our life. The ministry was threatened. We don't know how to overcome the problem. And then while we were praying with my elder son, and Justin was very small that time, we kneeled down and prayed, and before praying, we usually share each other how great is our God. But I was so discouraged. And I was sharing to my wife, Mary Kuti, that we had to close down the ministry. We had to close down the ministry. I don't want to go further. Then it was 1996. Then that time, she asked me a question during the prayer time. Then who told you to start all these things? You got the question? Sometimes our smart ideas, our bigger ideas, we are not convinced with our ideas. We go with our smartness. But when Jesus revealed that, so I was discouraged, but she was encouraged with all this threatening. How can it be? Because she was doing it with the conviction, and I was doing it with the smartness. You understood the difference? So, dear brothers and sisters, in our practical life also, I have so many things to testify, one after the other. It's amazing to serve God, but we have to serve with His guidance and commitment into our life. So from 96, after that incident, we all kneeled down. My elder son was very small. Justin was kneeling down, isn't it? That time we kneeled down and prayed and resubmitted ourselves. And from 96 onwards, the ministry started growing. Ephesians 3:20. Beyond, do you know that passage? Beyond. Beyond experience. So when, this is from my experience also, when we share and submit ourselves into God's hand, He uses us amazingly to understand how great is our Lord. So this passage, when we say that no, it happened to our life. And then Jesus asked to the disciples, verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto them, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard and he went into the sea, verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. These all verses have to explain. We have to meditate. So when Jesus asked them to net, to fish on the other side, the net was full. And they were not able to pull the net. Dragging. Joe, did you got a lot of crab when you fish in your life? Sometimes, yeah, sometimes it happened to us. It's very difficult to pull the net. So blessings after blessings into our life. So they dragged the net with the fishes. As soon as then they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there upon the bread. Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which you have caught now. I have a question. Jesus prepared the breakfast, isn't he? This is a morning time. So he prepared the breakfast for the disciples, and they want to eat the, so why they went for fishing? Because of hungry. Now Jesus is prepared the big dish, the breakfast. So isn't it amazing? Most of the time we go for with our bigger idea for fishing, for our stomach needs, for our things, but Jesus provides on time. Anybody have experienced that? Nobody? I have many, many experiences in the mission field of India. Sometimes worried, sometimes discouraged, but ultimately God provides amazing way. You sing the song Amazing Grace. It is really amazing. When we stand on the mission field of India, we can feel that. So Jesus provide. God provide what we need. So this is what the passage says. And then Jesus prepared the breakfast and waiting for the disciples. And then he told to the disciples, bring the fish. Now you got it. Can I know? Can you answer me why Jesus is telling like that? Are you with me? Why Jesus is telling to his disciples, bring the fish which you got now. Why? Christine, did you meditate this passage before? You heard so many times preaching, but did you meditate this passage? Jesus is telling to the disciples, bring the fish from your net which you got now. What is the speciality of that fish? Man called? Caught? Yeah, God prepared. Yeah, which he in the net. Yes. But why Jesus prepared the breakfast? Enough for the breakfast, enough for their stomach. But Jesus is telling them, bring the fish which you caught it now. What is the speciality of the, anybody else? Yes, Mary Kutty. What is the speciality? Yeah, that is the speciality. That fish which you are bringing now, that is from Jesus, that is from my word, you obeyed and bring that fish too for the breakfast. Let us cook that also. So there is enough here, but let us bring that fish from with my command which you caught. That is very, very important into our life. So when our bigger idea fails, Jesus' idea work out, and with Jesus' commands what we are doing, so you bring to me, that is Jesus says, you bring to me. And then they had the breakfast. So that is what it says, where Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. What is the great fish in Annapolis, in here? Huh? Draw, oh, rough fish? Oh, great fish. All of you like great fishes, isn't it? Huh? We have in India, when we go for fishing, when with my father, when I go for fishing, so if we catch a fish, in Malayalam it says musi. Musi. Anybody knows musi? The catfish here. Ah, the catfish here, musi. If we catch the catfish, musi, so he is very happy and I am very happy. Huh? Catfish is very tastier than the here, the catfish. So when great fishes come to our net, it's very nice, isn't it? Huh? Eh, Joe? Yeah. When crabs come to our net, it's very nice. We are happy. In Hindi we say begut kushi hai, kushi kushi, happy happy, begut kushi hai. So we are happy when the big fish come to our net. So then they have the breakfast. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet that is the main focus, that sentence. There were so many great fishes, but the net was not broken. Let us think about that passage. The net was not broken. For so many years we are fishing. Fishing after fishing. Every day we are fishing. But how many times our net was broken? Huh? You understood my question? Many times our net is broken with so much of experience. Our net is broken. Here it says, not broken. But most of the time, we go with our ideas, our net is broken. Correct, Megan? Yeah, when in our livelihood, when we for the survival, when we go for fishing, so every day, years and years, years and years, we are fishing. In our job, in our ministry career, so wherever we are, God puts you for fishing because of the great fishes. Sometimes it's empty, sometimes it's full, but the net is not broken. Why, Pastor Charlie, is not broken? God's Lord grace. I can testify that. When my superior priest had given me that 153 rupees, 153 fishes in my pocket, starting ministry, I don't know what is ministry. The word even ministry, I don't know. Started learning the word of God. And so I don't know what to do, how to do. Publishing. So I usually write books, write in the magazine articles, but I don't know what to do, how to publish it. But when we give that 153 rupees and I don't have travel expense, one rupee, 50 paise, for from one place to the other place, I don't have money. But when I submitted this 153 rupees for printing the first gospel tract, giving into the hands of God, He multiplied it. Amen. How many of you know multiplication theory? Huh? Nobody knows? You know? Yeah, multiplication. When we give it to the Lord, God multiply it. Amen. So today you were giving the offering to whom you had given. Yeah, you had to give it to the Lord. Then He multiply it. He multiply it. I am personally testifying that when you give it to the Lord, when you give it to the poor people, when you give it to the charity, when you give it to the people, it's not a losing thing. It multiply and come back to you. When it multiply and come back to Christine, what you will do? Give it back to the bank, isn't it? No? Not to the bank. Yeah, we had to give it again. In India, with the ministry, what we can testify that when we give it to the Lord, He multiplied. Dear brothers and sisters, let us learn that lesson. So here, the fish, the 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net was broken. The net was, in our lifetime, when we are fishing, whatever the area where we are doing, there is a lot of broken experience, isn't it? Huh? Lot of broken experience. When Pastor Jeff was introducing here, so he was speaking about India, the leaders, young leaders. So when they are in an area where life is even threatening, they have day-to-day, daily experience of net, broken net. Only because of His grace, they continue with the passion. For example, I think most of you know Avinash. Avinash, when he was studying there, he was very sick. And so every time we take him to hospital, he was a simple man. But when I visited him 2-3 times, I don't know how much he impacting his village with his grace, with the Lord's grace, and he impacting the village, the Hindu people, and impacting. And every week, every month, baptism is happening. I was so surprised. I thought I am the smartest. There is another young guy, Mesaga. Long time back, he was training, Justin's friend, and he only read guitar, not even able to smile because under depression in the northeast area. When he graduated and sent him for church planting, and I visited him many times, so he is multiplying the discipleship. People are coming to Christ. The grace with our net. The grace with our fishing. Use the grace with our fishing, we multiply and we will be a blessing. That is what my family is doing. That is why when I am very encouraged that my younger son is coming into the ministry and he wants to go for unreached people groups. That is where our prayer. All three sons, they want to be a blessing. We teach them in our prayer time how to fish with the grace. Not to be a doctor or to be an engineer or to be a computer skills man. I want them to be a blessing for the people. Come on. Praise the Lord. When we see that as parents, me and Mary Kutty, we are so happy seeing the children be a blessing to the others. Justin, he's a special one. He encouraged so many people in the village, bringing the disability children, going with their houses and distributing the grocery. This COVID time, he was very much impacted in the villages where we are living. Now Justin is well known. He is impacting, a special talented man. So I was so impressed with that. When, that is what I want to say from my testimony also, dear brothers and sisters. Let us use the grace of our God and do our fishing. Amen. When we do that way, God multiply your fishing. Your net never broken. As I shared with you, in 1996, my net was broken. But my wife knitted again. Grace. Grace. So let us do the fishing without breaking our net. There are so many oppositions happen. So many obstacles happen to break our net. If I ask you to everybody to testify something, everybody has something to say about breaking our net, isn't it? Even if you are a pastor, there are so many experience, discouragement, breaking of the net. But Jesus' grace healed everything. And after this, they had breakfast, this incident. That is the biggest part. They had good breakfast, barbecue. In America, you call it barbecue. And we have also barbecue there. I never knew about barbecue. You like barbecue? Yeah, you like barbecue. So we never knew about barbecue. Only after I came to America, I understood this is barbecue. Yesterday, at Christie's home, there was barbecue. But we had a different type of barbecue in India. It's called, what is it, Mary Kutty? Kappa Juttad. My father, parents were not aware about America or barbecue, but we had a tapioca, a different type of tapioca. We do barbecue in the fire. Very tasty. You had a different barbecue here. We have barbecue there. Anyhow, Jesus had breakfast with this smart guys, and then he called Peter, second time, Peter, do you love me? What was the response of Peter? No, that is the last time. The first time, yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. The third time, Jesus asked, what was the response, Megan? What was Peter's response? Yes, but there is something else he added. You know that passage? Yeah, we had to read that. Yes, I love you. An additional sentence he added. You know everything. So what is the position of our love with our submission to the Lord? You know, a very complete plain sentence, that you know everything, Lord. It's amazing testimony that Peter given to Jesus. Lord, I went for my own smartness, but I want to come back to you. I submit myself into thy hands. You know? That is where Jesus, so the Peter was saved before, but that is where Apostle Peter resubmitted his life into God's hand. We need resubmission into God's hand. Not every day. Sometimes it happens. We need a resubmission. When we resubmit ourselves into God's hand, He uses us and multiplies us for a bigger blessing. That is what the bridge is doing in India, in Africa. Pastor Jeff is doing. I was so impressed with his teachings that impacted young men in India. So you have a big bridge here. In India also we have small bridges. Living bridge that connected each other. So Pastor Molsho recently, 6 villages he is putting that bridge. Come on, Pastor Charlie. Are you hearing this? 6 villages he shared with me, CV Engel. We want to go to that village also. We want to bring young people to here. We want to build a school, a Bible school, a mission center. We want 6 villages. Here he want to put bridges. Not even road is there. Not even road. Because of Pastor Jeff's teaching started, he want to make new bridges into villages. Dear brothers and sisters, as bridge family, it's amazingly you are impacting the land of India. I'm so happy about that. And I'm so happy about the teachings. So, if you get time, just visit us and see what I am speaking to you now. So, the church is, the bridge family is impacting. And Pastor Jeff, through his teaching, he is impacting the land of India. So let us fish with our unbroken net. What do you need for that? The grace of God. I can see, so there are so many experiences in our life, in the ministry career or whatever. Our net is broken. So some of the loving people, they want to break your net. They want to catch you. They want to destroy you. They want to, so many, in US it's very easy for you. You cannot understand how much struggle we are facing in India. How much struggle. They want to destroy your net. Break your net. But if God's grace is with you, amen. It's an amazing experience. Let God guide you, your families, in whatever the situation you are, with your children, with your family, with your wife. So the broken situation, without breaking the net, God helping you with His grace. Let us understand more about the grace of God. How great is our God? How great! When you, Charlie, the team was singing, I was so impressed. How great! Pastor Charlie, you can explain that. How sweet it is, isn't it? Yeah. How great it is. How great it is. When we understand with our heart, it is a real great experience. So let us impact others. Let us use our fishing with the grace of God into our life. And stand for God. So when we were spending time with Pastor Charlie and we went for breakfast yesterday, so where the last time also when we went for breakfast, wherever he goes, he used that fishing in a nice way. I want to be discipled from Pastor Charlie to communicate immediately with the context of the people. Am I right, Mary? Yeah. So impacting people's lives. Be a blessing. Be a blessing to others. Let us try to do that. Let us commit ourselves for this grace of God. We need the grace. Let us pray. And I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you and sharing from the Word of God.
Who builds a boat? With no clouds in sight, who walks up to a giant and picks a fight, who turns a lion's den into a petting zoo, who can have church in a fiery furnace. Well, I'll tell you who. Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith believers. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's to all God's crazy people. Who brings a Bible into a public school? Who shares a gospel even when the world calls them a fool? And who's not afraid to go against the flow? Will cancel me and call me one of those, 'cause I'm one of those. Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith believers. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's to all God's crazy people. I'm one of those crazy people, who sees the world as a mission field, who talks to Jesus like he's real, who believes the words in red, who says he's coming back again. Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith believers. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's to all God's crazy people.
disciples by the power of His Spirit. He makes soldiers who obey all His commands. He sits above our enemies with the whole world in His hands. The Lord of all creation, You stand with us until the end. We make disciples by the power of His Spirit. He makes soldiers who obey all His commands. He sits above our enemies with the whole world in His hands. The Lord of all creation, You stand with us until the end. You stand.